Tactical Buffaloes Podcast.
Everybody, it is Big Bad here, back behind the mic, coming at you again with another episode of the Tactical Buffaloes Podcast. A couple weeks ago, I went out camping and LARPing in the woods with a couple of my buddies. This is a group of about a little less than 15 of us. And over this episode and the next couple ones, I kind of want to talk about some things I learned and, things I covered, realized when we were up there and then afterwards. So to start with, some of the things I want to hit on in this episode are, reconnecting with nature, and return to monkey attitude about it. It was great getting back to that, you know, being out in nature and not being around any conveniences. It was relaxing, you know, being around a campfire every night, cooking over a fire, taking a shit in the woods to an extent. It was nice to get back to that. Just the simplicity of it, get away from all the hecticness of normal life. Having to cut your own wood, process it, and then start a fire, even making sure, you know, your water is set up, keeping everything clean so that way you don't get sick, or work through a couple cuts on my hand and stuff, so keeping that shit clean, and just like extreme hygiene to make sure you don't run into any issues while you're out there in the woods, and that return to monkey mindset of keeping things very basic and simple, and getting back to our roots of what we want to be and where we want to be. But I don't know. I think it's just nice going back to what we're good at and what we are, how we were originally, to an extent. I'm kind of rambling here. To start off on the episode, because I don't really have my thoughts put together in a process, but it's just kind of, I don't know, it's something I enjoy doing. I enjoy camping, I enjoy being outdoors. I enjoy not having to have an alarm clock for when I get up, when I go to bed, and shit like that. It's just wake up when the sun comes up, go to bed after the sun goes down, as I feel needed. You know, there are some nights, you know, called it a night earlier. Some nights we're up till 2 a.m. running around in the dark. You know, it's some days I got up at 6, some days I got up at 10. You know, it's very return to basics of nature, which is something that I do enjoy doing. A tangent, something I kind of mentioned before, was that outdoor skills, hunting, cooking, cleaning, land clearing. We had to do some people will say extensive. Some people in the group said it was extensive, but did some land clearing in order to have room for everybody to camp comfortably. Just how to do that safely, running chainsaws and axes and moving everything so you know we got hurt, you know, being careful with that, because realistically a chainsaw is a very dangerous piece of equipment. All it takes is one slip and all of a sudden you're in the hospital. Or we had one guy out there, he was cutting wood by himself, and to be honest with you, I was a little worried about it, because all it would take is one slip and he's the only one out there. And then we show up, and he bled out because the chainsaw, you know, buck and hit him in the leg. Thank God that didn't happen, but you know, it was just a concern to have. And having those skills of how to handle that and handle that equipment safely is no different than knowing how to use a gun safely. It just takes time and understanding the risks and procedures of how to keep yourself safe while using it. The cooking and hunting, you didn't really do any hunting. I don't know. Some of the guys shot at animals. They didn't hit any of them. I think mainly because they were fucking around. But the cooking, it was nonstop in a good way. I enjoyed cooking. They all joked that I was just the grill master. I think I had my stove going pretty much most of the time. Always had something on top of it. We made moose burgers, moose tacos, pork chops. Every morning was bacon and eggs, just because what the fuck else are you going to make, you know? And it was goddamn good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much. And it's just something that I wish I could do more often. But I don't know, with being out there for a week, it is very strenuous on my job and being away from it, because I almost had to be away from my job for 2 weeks actually in order to prep, get everything packed, everything set up properly, be out there on vacation, be out there reconnecting with nature, and then back and unpacking and I don't know, I guess you could say debriefing from it. And that's, you know, some of the things that are important outdoor skills, and not to go a complete drastic on the outdoor skills level, but having the skills to be productive outside. Some of the guys, I don't think they've spent that long in the woods before. Whereas some of the other ones, they had no problem picking up a chainsaw and going to work, or grabbing an axe and splitting wood. And it's cool to help share some of those experiences with the guys, but also teach them, I guess, or coach them up on certain things that they were maybe lacking in. Some of the outdoor skills that I'd like to work on more in possibly the next trip, and maybe it'll just be a shorter one, maybe it'll just be a long weekend, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But some of those skills would be working on more basic, low-level camping styles. One of the guys had mentioned maybe the next time do like a simulated bug out once we have all of our gear up there, you know, pack up into a bag. And then thankfully the property's big enough. We could, in essence, yeah, with packs on, we could hike for several miles, you know, 8-10 miles, no problem. Granted, that would make it a loop, but you know, it's large enough where you can do that. But yeah, do that simulated bug out or something of that sort, or other drills where you work on your camouflaging. It would be cool to go up there during a hunting season where we could harvest some game, work on those skills, wild game processing, cleaning, and then, you know, even cooking, because cooking wild, you know, venison or there's geese up there, or ducks, turkeys. One of the guys said they saw a bear. Learning how to cook those animals is drastically different than cooking beef or chicken. It's takes a certain technique, certain seasoning, certain procedures even. You know, it's just the way you cook them, the way you prepare them and clean them, it's going to be different. And you're like, for venison, for example, there are different cuts that are perfect, amazing. Backstraps, for one of them, you'd be hard pressed to find somebody that would turn down a set of backstrap steaks. Whereas, you know, some of the harder to get or harder to process pieces like a roast, it'd be, I mean, you could fry up the steaks, no problem. But what do you do with a roast up there over a fire? You know, you're going to throw the whole thing on a spigot and rotate it, or what's the deal? You know, it kind of varies, and you'd have to think about what you'd be wanting to do with it. And also, yeah, if we'd get a deer during hunting, during deer season, it'd be, all right, are we all going to eat it now, or are we going to process this out, make jerky in it now, or are we going to package it and try and freeze it, take it home? It's a logistical issue of what the fuck are we going to do with this thing now that we got it. And that's almost something that you need to figure out before you try it. And if I am being completely honest, a big part of what I enjoy is just hanging out with the boys. This is a group of guys I talk to every day, pretty much all day. And we don't get to see each other nearly as much as I'd like to, you know. I think the last time we got together as a group was New Year's. And then in between there and now, it was just small groups of 2-3 guys, maybe 4 at a time, max, you know. It was just when everybody's got time, we're spread out over a couple of states and just whatever works best. I mean, like I said, just spending time with people of a like mindset, it's spending time with the boys. It is nice to kind of reconnect and re-zero. That's the same reason I go to North Carolina every year, is to reconnect and just sit around a fire for a couple days and be out in nature. It's something that I do enjoy, like I mentioned earlier. But something else that I noticed, moving on, something else that I noticed, when we were out there is your shit's going to break. Your gear's going to break. Especially if you actually use it, you know, your safe queens aren't going to go bad sitting in the safe all year, all their fucking lifetime. But if you actually get out and use your gear, it's not going to work as well as you thought it did or thought it would. You're going to make adjustments. You're going to run into issues. Some things you're going to completely scrap because it was not as good of an idea as you thought it was. One example was I have a brush truck up there, and we were running on it pretty hard. Actually ended up breaking one of the heater lines off of it, you know, for the coolant system, for the heating system off of the coolant. Anyway. That broke. So then after 3 trips to town to an auto parts store, we ended up breaking the fitting inside of the engine block. So now next trip I go up there, I have to rig some stuff together to get it sealed up again so it'll run. Thankfully, it wasn't a major line. It's just an auxiliary to go to heat in the cab. So I should be able to block it off and have everything run smoothly still. I paid $800 for the vehicle. If the whole thing fucking seizes up and stops working, it is what it is. Move on. Go on to the next situation. You know, it's $800. I'm not out a whole lot of money. I had it for a couple of years. Move on, you know. My concern is that I don't want to only use it for a little bit. Use it for a week or two, and then all of a sudden it's trash, because then it's a real expensive vehicle. You know, if I could keep it up there for a year or two, 3, get use out of it, you know, then it'd be worthwhile. Otherwise, it's just a little aggressive, not efficient way to spend money. That's probably the biggest gear failure I had. Personally, I'd say another thing. Oh yeah, my Mall, the B.E. Myers Mall C1 Plus. I have it's having some issues. For those of you that are familiar with it, the selector knob for your visible and IR lasers, the illuminator, it's finicky. But for those of you that aren't familiar with it, to catch up to speed, the mall, instead of having a switch dial like a D-ball or a PEC have, it has a front rotational cap that has an off position, a vis laser, and then an IR laser loom position. So that's all held down by, or held in place with a detent, similar to like your takedown pins on your ARs. So that's what I'm having issues with right now. For how expensive it was, I would really hope I wouldn't have fucking issues with it. But at the same time, I don't want to send it back to TNVC, or I don't want to send it back to P.E. Myers, and all of a sudden I'm out of laser for a couple months. You know, it's a workable issue right now. It's just that it sticks from time to time and gets hard to move. So, I mean, your shit's going to fail. That's not necessarily a complete failure right now, but I don't want it to break entirely and then I'm fucked. You know, I think maybe I'm going to probably see if I can snag a cheaper laser, kind of take its place while I send it off. That way I can still have a laser on my main gun and then go from there. I mean, it's in that way when I get the mall back, I can still take that laser and toss it on something else, you know, because I got a couple guns I want to run with nods now that I got them. But it's tough when lasers are about a grand, you know, give or take. It's $1,000 on the low end, I guess, you know. You can get to $1,000 up to, well, fuck the malls, over 2.5. So it's not great. I don't want to just shell out money to fit it into guns that I don't use very often, you know. But also, moving on from lasers and night vision and shit, I got an episode coming up about that. I got a couple of buddies of mine that are going to come on. They know a lot more than I do about it. And we're going to talk shit about certain companies. We're also going to really endorse other ones. But some other things that broke were, fuck, we had the, I'm just realizing this now. So the mall is the laser I have on my gun, but also a wood splitting mall. We had that break when we were using it, splitting a log, and then all of a sudden the head comes flying off. And it's a fiberglass one, so it's kind of fucked as is right now. I'll maybe try and get the rest of the handle out of the head, and then fit it onto a wood handle. But we were kind of down to splitting logs with an axe and a chainsaw and fucking a hammer. It wasn't great. Like I said, shit's gonna fail. So have backups on backups, you know? I mean, it's batteries ran out, swap batteries. One of the guys up there, he had a 22 conversion kit for his AR. It did not run well at fucking all. Constantly had issues with it. He didn't swap it out, I don't think, because ammo prices, and he just wanted to run it and save money on ammo running drills. But at the same time, by that not working well, he adapted, overcame it, and then also just kind of just gave him a chance to run more malfunction drills, you know, drop the mag, rack the bolt and put a new mag in, charge it again, back up and running. It was hectic during the day, but then also it was a fucking problem at night. You know, we did do some night shooting, and it was an issue at night, even because of that. Also, because you can't fucking see, you know, you are running drills at night in the dark under night vision. So you got to be real familiar with your gear and how it's set up and where everything is. Yes. For gear setup, too, something I learned, I had gotten a new belt setup. I had swapped some things around. On my left hip, on my left side of the belt, I have a pistol mag, and then I have a stacked pistol rifle mag, and then I have a rifle mag. I realized about the second day of us doing range drills that my hand kept going back to that furthest back rifle mag. I don't fucking know why. It just did. I don't know if that's just in my natural positioning for it or what, but that's what I would reach back to immediately. I wouldn't even sense that that first rifle mag was there. Just went straight back to that second one and grabbed it, did reloads, and I'm decently quick with them. I'd say my hardest thing right now is the reinserting, which is ultimately kind of the biggest part of the reload. But I don't know, your gear's going to fail. That's kind of the biggest takeaway so far, is your gear's not going to work. You know, radios you're having issues with because of distance and terrain features. And then Suburban broke down. And then, well, fuck, the Suburban broke down before we even got there. I was taking it up there and I had it running on a trailer. And then I had an idler wheel fucking idler bolt back out on me. And then idler bearing seized up and caused all sorts of fucking issues. But that was a make it work mentality. I was able to track down a new idler pulley or idler wheel, I guess you could say. And then couldn't find a bolt, couldn't find the spacers. So I went to my boss's employer's shop and pieced it together off of washers. I made it work. It was a real make it work mentality with that fucking thing. You got the idler, so it would actually run the coolant system, but then also with what I got to do next time I'm up there, making sure that I can seal that system off so we're not constantly leaking antifreeze all over the place. I'm not a mechanic. I don't really know what the fuck I'm doing, but through some faith, goodwill, research, and a little bit of Google foo, I think I'll be able to pull it off. But yeah, that's going to be it for this episode. It was short and sweet. I don't know, 20, 25 minutes, somewhere in there. I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't be sure to check out our merch over at spiritofresistance.com, AZ or SOR, however you want to refer to him. He's a decent enough friend of mine. He's helped me out on a couple side projects, helped me out quite a bit on a couple side projects. And he's been a real, real big help for us and hosting our merch store and all that. You want to go check it out, pick up some merch from the Buffaloes. That helps us out. That helps keep the podcast up and running. We don't make a whole lot of money on this. And right now we're at a net deficit just because of hosting costs and whatnot, for the bandwidth, but buying merch helps kind of counterbalance that. And then while you're there, check out some of the other podcasts that have merch up on his site also. And then even some of the Spirit of Resistance merch too. It's all good shit. I enjoy it. He's got a great logo going. He's got a great brand going. So like I said, this is a Big Bad signing off here for another episode of Tactical Buffaloes podcast. Hope everybody has a good night and we'll talk to you next time.